Yesterday I heard so many things, last night, especially the instructions of Bhagavan Kapiladev to his mother Devahuti. And beginning now from the fourth canto, Daksha curses Lord Shiva. Many instructions in this. Lord Shiva is the most misunderstood personality because he has some identification with the Lord. Therefore, many people consider him to be also the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But actually, it's not a fact. He is near and dear servitor of the Lord. Sruta Bhakta Sri Guru Sri Srivasya Bhagavata Saha Priyapaneva Manyatamaha. When scripture describes the spiritual master and Lord Shiva to be one with the Supreme Lord, one in the sense that they're very, very dear to him. Therefore, both the spiritual master, the pure devotee, and Lord Shiva are to be considered non-different than the Lord because they always reside in the heart of the Lord. But still, they have their separate identity. So, Lord Shiva's most powerful personality in 12th canto, it describes just like the Ganga is the best of rivers, just like Lord Shiva is the best of devotees, in the same way the Srimad Bhagavatam is the best of Puranas. Therefore, Lord Shiva is so dear to the Lord, whenever the Lord takes an incarnation, Lord Shiva appears there in some form. Hanuman Chalisa describes Hanuman to be the 12th incarnation of Mahadev. So when Lord Ram was performing his pastimes, Keshava Drita Rama Sarira, when that Krishna came in the form of Ram, that time, in order to show that there are two parts of the Lord's pastimes, sometimes the devotee feels the happiness of meeting the Lord, and other times they experience the happiness of separation from the Lord, even though it does not look like happiness. Said separation from the Lord is like drinking boiling hot sugar candy. So painful, but so sweet you have to keep on drinking it. So both things are there. So, when Lord Ram went for Vanaprast as the ideal follower of his father said the next morning he will be king. But when Lord Ram was walking forwards for the coronation, the father said, you have to follow my two instructions. Go to the forest for 14 years and your son Bharat will be king. Lord Ram could have said, why, I will go to the forest, I am king, I am eldest son, but no. He followed the instructions of his father, showing one that one must always follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Lord Ram went to the forest with Sita and Lakshman. That time, this Ravan's sister, Supanaka, Naraka means nose, she had a very big nose. Seeing the beauty of Ram and Lakshman, she became enchanted. She approached them. Some say that she was so much enchanted with Ram's beauty, she forgot to change her original form into a beautiful woman. Sometimes you hear that explanation also. Therefore, she asked Ram to marry her. Ram said, I cannot marry, because I already have one wife, Supanaka, made Sita. But you can marry my brother, Lakshman. He is in the forest. His wife is not with him. You may marry him. So when she looked towards Lakshman, she became enchanted. Who would not? Lakshman is the original Sankarsan who attracts the minds of everyone. She went to Lakshman, I want to marry you, Lakshman said. But unfortunately, I'm a servant of Ram. Therefore, if you marry me, you'll have to become a servant of Sita. But you are so qualified and good-looking, you should become a servant, a queen independently. Again and again, she went round to Lakshman like a football. Then finally she realized the cause of all my suffering is Sita. Where there's no smoke, there's no fire. She went to kill Sita with his eyes. Lord Ram indicated to Lakshman, who cut off her nose and cut off her ears. Prem, would you marry a girl with no nose or no ears? Therefore, Lord, she had a desire to marry the Lord. The Lord, out of his kindness, disfigured her in such a way that no man would ever touch her again. Crying, she went to her brother and very cleverly she described the beauty of Sita. And by hearing, Ravan developed a greed. How I can get her. It's a long story. Ravan forced his uncle, Marichi, to take the form of a golden deer. Ram chased the golden deer. That time, when Ram and Lakshman were out of the ashram, Ravan kidnapped Sita. That time when Ram came back, his energy, his wife Sita was gone. Ram was weeping, "Ha Sita, ha Sita." In moving through the forests of Panchavati, even Ram was so much mad in separation from Sita, he was asking the trees, the birds, the insects, "Have you seen Sita? Have you seen Sita?" But all the animals were afraid of Ravan, therefore they did not give an answer. All were afraid. That time when Lord Ram was moving through the forest weeping, "Ha Sita, ha Sita," Lord Shiva was watching from a distance doing pranam. So Shiva, he also has his energy, Parvati. She asked, "Prabhu, what are you doing this for? Who is that person?" Lord Shiva said, "That is not only a person, that is the Supreme Lord performing his pastimes." Therefore, Lord Shiva, not, in order to not disturb the pastimes of Lord Ram, from a distance was doing pranam. That time Parvati had some doubt. How he could be the Supreme Lord? The Supreme Lord is omnipresent. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is present everywhere. He must know where his wife is. The Supreme Lord is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. If he's all-powerful, how could someone steal his wife? Sita became bewildered. Parvati became bewildered. Therefore, she asked. She wanted to take examination of Ram. Therefore, taking the exact form of Sita, she came to where Ram was moving in the forest. Thank you. Again and again, she came before Lord Ram, but Lord Ram never looked at her. Then she was thinking, "What's happening? He's looking for his Sita. I'm exactly in the form of his wife, and he is not looking at me. Only ha Sita, ha Sita." Again, she came right before him. Lord Rama looked at her and merely said, "Oh, Uma, Parvati, where is your husband Shiva? How you've come to the forest alone?" So Parvati became bewildered because she is Mahamaya, the bewildering external potency of the Lord. She asked, she was thinking, "I bewilder the whole world from Brahma down to the insect, but I cannot bewilder him." That time Lord Ram smiled and Uma Parvati looked. What did she see? Sita moy sabajagajani. Every atom, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram. She saw millions of Brahmas, millions of Shivas, and millions of Parvatis, millions of Vishnus and Ganeshas, all doing pranam and offering prayers to his lotus feet. The next minute, she became stunned. She opened her eyes. Everything had disappeared, and again, Ram was moving in the forest. Ha Sita, ha Sita. When she came back to her husband, Lord Shiva was in a very grave mood in meditation, and she went to sit on the left side. Wife will always sit on the left side, just like Radhika, always on the left side of Krishna. But when she went to sit on the left side of Lord Shiva turned to face her, face to face. He asked, "You tested Lord Ram?" She said, "No, no, why would I test? I have complete faith in your words." Therefore, Parvati made three offenses. First, she could not put faith in the words of the Guru. Lord Shiva means Jagat Guru. If Lord Shiva says he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you better believe it. Therefore, she could not put faith in the words of Guru. And when Lord Shiva asked her, "Did you examine him?" She said, "No." Therefore, she lied to the spiritual master. And third, she took the form of Sita. Isn't it? One of offenses to imitate the activities of or the behavior of great persons. Even to imitate the speech, the gestures, the manner of walking, The mannerisms of the spiritual master is also offense because you're imitating him. Everything he does is under the influence of pure love of Godhead, Krishna Prem, and you do not have love of Godhead, but you're pretending to be like him. This is our aparad. Therefore, she took the form of Sita, even though she is not Sita. Therefore, she made three offenses, three Vaishnava aparads. As a result, when she went to sit on the left-hand side of Lord Shiva turned to face her, because the wife will always sit in front of the husband. The mother will sit in front of the son, but the wife will sit on the left side. By that activity, Parvati could understand, oh, he has rejected me as wife. Lord Shiva said, you took the form of my mother, the universal mother, Mother Sita. How I can accept you and see you as a wife again? Therefore, in his heart, he rejected her. That time, the demigods became astonished. Shiva, Shiva. And they threw flowers from the sky. Only Shiva has so much affection for the Lord, he can give up his own wife for him. That time, Lord Shiva went into trance for tens of thousands of years. And Parvati was sitting next to him waiting, but he ignored her. Then she became most morose. Oh, this body is useless. How I can give up this body, she was thinking. Therefore, her desire was fulfilled in the story of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yesterday we described the beginning of the universe. Brahmaji created all types of moving and non-moving entities. Amongst them, he created the 33 million demigods. The demigods are always engaged in worshipping the Supreme Lord. Amongst them, Prajapati Daksha was most prominent. He was put in charge of making population. Vijay wishing for that position. Therefore, they were performing a big sacrifice to please Lord Vishnu. At that time, Daksha was heading the sacrifice. He was the big man on campus. Daksha has such a position. He's one of the most principal demigods. Therefore, two persons, everyone else has to respect him, except two persons are higher than him. Of course, Lord Vishnu as the Supreme Lord, Lord Brahma as the material creator and the father of Daksha, and Lord Shiva also. That time all the demigods were sitting in their respective seats during the yajna. When Brahmaji came in, Daksha stood up to respect him. But when Daksha walked into the assembly, everyone stood up to respect him except one person. Who is that? Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva didn't even see him. He was in meditation on the pastimes of Krishna. Then when Daksha saw that he had not been respected, Daksha became most angry. His eyes became red hot. He began to speak very harsh words to Lord Shiva. Oh, all sages, all brahmanas, all gods, please listen to me. I am not speaking out of envy. That means 100% speaking out of envy. There was one man who hired a pujari to serve the deity. He gave him a big bunch of special bananas. Then the boss was thinking, the pujari is in there such a long time, what's he doing? Hey, pujari, what are you doing? I'm not eating bananas. I'm not eating the bananas. That means definitely eating the bananas. Therefore, Daksha said, I'm not speaking out of envy, please believe me. This Shiva is Shiva by name only. Shiva means auspicious. He is auspicious only by name. Actually, he is completely shameless. He does not know how to act. He has already become my subordinate by marrying my daughter, who is equal to Gayatri, the Shakti of Brahmaji. Thus, he is pretending to be an honest person, but I don't know why, listening to the orders of my father Brahma, I married my daughter who has eyes like a deer to the Shiva who has eyes like a monkey. His behavior is completely uncivilized. He cannot respect me even with sweet words. He thinks he is my senior and he wants to dance on my head. I had no desire to give my daughter in charity to this mad fellow, but I was forced Just like a sudra should never learn the scriptures, in the same way I was forced to give my daughter to marriage to this crazy fellow. He lives in filthy places, like crematorians. His companions are all completely nuts and puggles. He is naked like a madman. Sometimes he laughs and sometimes he cries for no reason. He smears ashes of the dead bodies on himself. He never takes bath. He ornaments his body with the skulls and bones of dead persons. Actually, he is most mad, and those who follow him are also mad, and his followers are all completely crazy. Very hard to understand the activities of a pure devotee, Charles. Vaishnav Kriya Mudra, Vigyan Abhijit. Vaishnav means the pure devotee of Krishna, but very hard to understand their activities. Even if you are very, very learned and very, very intelligent, you cannot understand them. Lord Shiva, therefore, is the topmost Vaishnav. He will therefore be the most difficult to understand. Why he always stays in dirty places like a crematorium? Because people are always afraid of the crematorium. At night, no one goes to a crematorium. Too many ghosts there. Therefore, Lord Shiva finds a very peaceful atmosphere to perform his Naam Bhajan. He is always naked because he is completely detached from the material conception of life. Sometimes he laughs. Sometimes he cries. In remembrance of the Lord, sometimes he laughs. And in separation from the Lord, sometimes he cries. Bhagavatam says, Ivamvrata swapriyanamikita jitanuraga drutachitti uche hasyante rodati rayanti gayante unmada loka bahira baha. Sometimes a great personality, when he chants the name of the Lord, which is very dear to him, sometimes he laughs. His heart melts, sometimes he weeps, and sometimes he dances for no reason, becoming oblivious to the external opinion of others. Therefore, Lord Shiva, all his activities are deeply connected with the service of Krishna, but ordinary persons cannot understand. He wears bones, not ordinary bones, the bones of great devotees. He smears himself with the ashes of the cremation from the devotees. And he is very, very kind. Ocean of mercy. Therefore, his followers are all crazy because Lord Shiva is the one that is so kind. He extends his mercy even to the most rejectable of souls like ghosts, goblins, witches, spirits. No one else will accept them, but he is so kind he accepts them. He gives them shelter. Therefore, Daksha's blasphemy of Lord Shiva is completely unwarranted. Therefore, in a very loud voice, Daksha was shouting. Daksha was raving like a madman, committing offenses to the Vaishnavas. One thing completely destroys devotional sentiment, Charles, that's called Vaishnava Aparad, offenses to the devotees. Offenses to devotees are of six types. You know what they are, Vijay? Hanti, dveshti, chanindati, na vaishnava vinandanam, kruditi, na hasamscha, iti sapatanti syat. Six offenses to the feet of Vaishnava. Hanti, to beat a Vaishnava. Dveshti, to be envious of a devotee. Nindati, to blaspheme a devotee. Blaspheme means he has not done anything, but you are making false accusations, false stories. Navaishnava abhinandancha, to see a Vaishnava and not feel happy. Nahashamscha, to see a devotee and not feel a happiness in your heart. You see him, oh God, he's gone. Offense to a devotee. To not welcome a devotee. And krudyati, to have anger towards a devotee, especially a pure devotee. Everyone should take rest a little bit earlier. Half of you are asleep. Therefore, these six offenses to the feet of a devotee are the cause of fall down. Because bhakti comes from where? Kishore? Vaishnava. Bhakti comes by the mercy of devotees. Devotion comes by the mercy of devotees. Therefore, you'll make offense to devotees and their bhakti they have given you will disappear automatically. There, Daksha, being very much proud of his beauty, his knowledge, his material opulence, Daksha began to shout and rave. He washed his hands, washed his mouth, and offered a curse to Lord Shiva. The demigods are eligible to take their offerings given to Lord Vishnu, but I give curse that Shiva, who is the lowest of all the demigods, should not have a share at all. Daksha, in great anger, cursed Shiva and immediately left that place. And Lord Shiva, inside, he felt very happy. Why? Because Lord Shiva is very much afraid of materialistic association, and who among the demigods generally are most materialistic. Therefore, Lord Shiva is thinking, thank God I don't have to sit with them and take prasad. Lord Shiva is very happy. That time, Lord Shiva was completely peaceful, because as an ideal devotee, Lord Shiva is Chanada Pisunichena Tororiva Suhishina. Lord Shiva has no demand for his own respect or position. Therefore, Daksha was cursing Lord Shiva, remained unaffected. But the followers of Shiva could not remain unaffected. Just imagine, Charles, if I started saying bad things about your mother and you just sat there peacefully. What does that mean? Must mean you have no affection for your mother. Understand? Therefore, we hear blasphemy of Gurudev, Krishna, or devotion. One must become angry. If you don't become angry, it simply means that you have no love for them. Therefore, anger also can be used in spiritual life. Anger is not necessarily bad. It just depends why you get angry. Therefore, you hear blasphemy of Hari Guru Vaishnava. You must become angry, Guru Maharaj says, like fire, and burn that person. Therefore, Shastra says, if you have power and someone is blaspheming the Lord or his devotees, you can cut out their tongue. That means if you're a king and you can punish that person by amputating their tongue. Or if you cannot cut off their tongue, you can cut their tongue by your arguments. If you cannot do that, then you can leave that place and take bath with all your clothes on. And if you cannot do that, then you can give up your body by committing suicide. Ready, Vijay? So, Lord Shiva remained completely unaffected, but the followers of Lord Shiva Ram became most excited. Therefore, Nandishwara. Nandishwara is the bull carrier of Lord Shiva. His eyes became red. He could not tolerate the blasphemy of his spiritual master. Therefore, he gave a curse. Anyone who has accepted Daksha as a most important person will definitely become bereft of all transcendental knowledge. Those who this is the curse to the Brahmanas, because Daksha is Brahminical. Therefore I curse that these so-called Brahminical followers of Daksha will soon become attached to sex life, and they will forget the feet of Lord. Then very soon, this Daksha will have the face of a goat, because a goat has sex 20 times a day. I curse that the Brahminical followers of Daksha, who have been present in the cursing of Lord Shiva, they will soon become attracted to the external results given in the Vedas, and they will continue rotating in the cycle of birth and death. I curse those Brahminical followers who have cursed Lord Shiva. They will become attached to fruitive activities. Very soon, these Brahmanas will become devoid of all knowledge. They will not know what is good, pure to eat, good to eat, or bad to eat. They will simply move door to door begging money to fill the belly. Isn't that a fact? When you go to India, all the so-called Brahmanas who before the cream of society, the gurus of society who had no self-interest, would give pure instructions to others. When you go to them now, what do they want, Kishore? Money, 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 brighter than sunshine, sweeter than honey. Therefore, Kalo Sudra Sambhu, what we see now, the curse of Nandishwara working in the so-called Brahminicals of Brahmins of India. They have no knowledge of what to eat or what not to eat. They have no knowledge of their position. And even so-called Brahmanas just move here and there begging. Therefore, one cannot become a Brahman by birth. One is a Brahman by Gunakarma Vibhagasa. One is a Brahmana by work. One is a Brahmana by qualities. Srila Bhaman Maharaj said, if you look, think very carefully, all of us come from Brahman, Brahma, who is a Brahmana. Therefore, if we all come from a Brahmana, how there have been different divisions? Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. Therefore, one cannot be a Brahmana by birth, because by birth we are all Brahmanas. One is a Brahman only by his activities. Therefore, the curse of Daksha we can see present, the curse of Nandishwar we can see working even today. Therefore, the Brahmana is headed by Bhrigu Rishi. Bhrigu is a mental-born son of Brahmaji also. He became very angry and he cursed the followers of Shiva. Bhava Brata Dara Yecha Yechatan Samunanvrata Pashandinas Chabavantu Satshastra Paripandita. One who takes a vow to follow Lord Shiva will definitely become an atheist and be diverted from the scriptures. Those who take a vow to please Lord Shiva will become so foolish they will imitate him by keeping long hair on their heads. When initiated into the worship of Lord Shiva, they prefer to live on wine, flesh, and other abominable foodstuffs. Ain't that a fact? All the so-called followers of Lord Shiva imitate him by wearing coiled hair on their heads and smoking ganja. I heard a story. In Jagannath Puri, in the cremation ground, there were some followers of Lord Shiva. So, what's his name? Sunda Gopal told me the story. He said, I tried to plagiarize it and say it was me, but that's not true. It was Sunda Gopal. So these followers of Lord Shiva had taken a vow never to leave the cremation ground. Everything they needed for their existence, they got from the cremation ground. Therefore, their philosophy was, tamaguna is the best quality. Because in tamaguna, you're in so much ignorance, there's no discrimination of what is good or what is bad, therefore you experience happiness. Therefore, he told me his guru had eaten nothing else but his own stool for 16 years. Every day he'd have one glass of milk. In the morning he'd pass stool onto a plate, because at Jagannath Puri he can't pass stool on the ground, and he'd eat it. Therefore, these are all the curses of the followers of the Brahmins to the followers of Lord Shiva. There we see most of the so-called followers of Lord Shiva not following Lord Shiva. All are atheists, Mayavadis at best. Bhrigu Muni continued, the followers of Lord Shiva, because you blaspheme the Vedas and the Brahmanas who follow the Vedic principles, I will say that definitely, very soon, all of you will come under the shelter of the doctrine of atheism, Mayavadam. No? Most 90%, 99% of the followers of Lord Shiva are all Mayavadis. They do not believe in the form of God. There, the Vedic Bhrigu continued, the Vedas have given, the Supreme Lord has given the Vedas as eternal guidelines for auspiciousness, advancement in society. But all the followers of Shiva, by disrespecting the Vedas and the Brahmanas, definitely will descend to the platform of atheists. Thus, the cursing and counter-cursing was going on between the followers of Lord Shiva and the followers and the Brahmanas, the followers of Daksha. And Lord Shiva, most morosely, without saying anything, he disappeared. That time, Lord Shiva left and the sacrifice continued, Janava, for thousands of years. When Shiva left, Shiva's wife, Parvati, she went with him. That time Daksha was having another sacrifice, but he never sent an invitation to Lord Shiva. So Sati, Parvati, she was watching. All the demigods and the with their wives, beautifully decorated, were heading towards the sacrifice. Their time is natural. Imagine all the family members, Radhika, are going to your house, but you are not invited. How would you feel? I was disappointed. Therefore, all the girls with their husbands were going towards the house of Daksha for the next sacrifice. But only Parvati was not invited. Therefore, she felt very disturbed. Therefore, she went to her husband and said, "My dear Shiva," not saying his name, of course, as our ideal Vedic wife, "your father-in-law is now executing a great sacrifice, of which all the demigods have been invited. If we desire, we may also go there. I think that all my sisters have gone wearing their best saris. Therefore, I also wish to decorate myself with ornaments and go there. My sisters, my mother's sisters, their husbands, and all my affectionate relatives have gone there, so I must be able to see them. I will be able to see the flapping flags, the nice decorations, the nice saris, compare lipsticks. Therefore, please give me permission. I wish to see my birthplace once more. O Shiva, O blue-throated one, just see all the women dressed in nice clothes and decorated with ornaments are going there with their husbands and friends. See how nice their aeroplanes are shining in the sun. Everyone is going there. How I can stay here alone? And even if you consider that I have not been invited, still my going, there will be no fault. There are three places you can go even if you're not invited. The father's house, the house of a friend, or the house of a spiritual master, if Brajanath's not there. Therefore, please let me go. Please let me go. They're saying this. Lord Shiva simply smiled and said, Parvati, I think it's not a good idea you go. Because your father is very much envious of me. Therefore, because you are connected to me by marriage, therefore, when you go, he will definitely neglect you. I think it's not going. But Tirthapadbaru, did she listen? Did she listen to the advice of Lord Shiva? No wife ever listens to the advice of the husband, not even if he's Lord Shiva. Therefore, she left without taking his advice. Lord Shiva is an omniscient personality. He could understand there's going to be trouble. There's going to be a rumble at the sacrifice. Therefore, as Parvati went, Lord Shiva sent many of his followers to give protection to Sati. When she got there, what happened? Daksha pretended not to see her. He snobbed her at the party. But the ladies are very soft-hearted, therefore they welcomed Parvati with much affection. Then Parvati was feeling very much sad. My father is neglecting me. Also, all the other demigods, because of fear of Daksha, they're also neglecting me. When she looked and saw it, there were places for all the demigods, but no place for her husband. Then she became most angry, and she chastised Daksha. Nanyasya loki asti atisayana priya, tatapriyo deha britam priyatmana. Only a low-class fellow like you could be envious of such a great person like Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is beloved of all living entities. He is equal to all. No one but you could be envious of such a great personality. This is to her father. A man like you can only see fault in others, while a great person like Shiva only sees the good qualities in others. Unfortunately, even though Lord Shiva has no fault, you are so low class, you have found fault with him. But this is not very astonishing. After all, one who has accepted this body to be the self, their intelligence will always be polluted. Therefore, it's very natural for low-class materialistic persons like you to always deride the great souls. Thus, very soon you will fall down because you will be diminished by the dust of their lotus feet. Like yesterday we said. If you blaspheme a great personality, that great personality will have no problems because they're free from false ego. But the followers of that great personality, their foot dust, they will not forgive very easily. Sati began to say to her father, you are committing the greatest offense by envying the pure devotee Lord Shiva. Shiva, only who's chanting one's name, purifies the three worlds. Lord Shiva is always pure and a benefactor of all living entities. Only you are envious of him. Lord Shiva is very kind to all. He fulfills the desire of even the materialistic persons simply because they think of him. And to the transcendentalist, he gives spiritual knowledge, transcendental happiness. Do you think you know more than Lord Shiva and other great personalities? Even Lord Shiva bows his head at the feet of Even Lord Brahma bows his head at the feet of Shiva and takes the flowers that are offered to his feet upon his head. Therefore, Lord Brahma and great personalities, they are not saying anything. Why are you saying anything? One other offense of Daksha Marjada Vyatikrama, crossing etiquette. One should not correct someone or praise someone before the spiritual master. Aparad. Why are you giving any advice when the spiritual master is there? Therefore, to chastise someone or to praise someone in the presence of a superior is offense. So Lord Brahma was also there when Daksha was criticizing Lord Shiva, but he should not have done. If Lord Shiva had made any offense, then Brahma would have said it's not at the position of a junior to say. There, Sati began. If one hears an irresponsible person blaspheming devotees or devotion, one should block his ears and go away if he cannot punish him. If one is able to kill him, that person should by force cut out the tongue. And if one cannot do that, that person who hears blasphemy must give up their life. Sati thinking, I cannot kill you because you are my father. I cannot go away also. Therefore, let me give up my life. He said, this body has come from you. Therefore, I want no relations with this body. Therefore, she made a vow to give up her body. I shall no longer accept this unworthy body because it has been received from you who have blasphemed Lord Shiva. If someone has taken food which is poisonous, the only thing to do is to vomit. Therefore, she made a vow to give up her life. She covered herself in a saffron-colored sari, meditating on the fire element in the body. She caught fire, spontaneously combusted, and gave up her life. Immediately there was a great cry and roar. The followers of Shiva thought, we have failed in our service to our spiritual master. Therefore, let us also give up our bodies. Therefore, all the followers of Lord Shiva went to attack the demigods and tried to kill Daksha. That time, Bhrigu, the mental son of Brahma, immediately he chanted mantra, and in the southern side of the fire he offered a mantra. Immediately from the sacrificial fire came millions of soldiers called Ribus. There was a huge rumble there on the sacrificial arena, and the followers of Lord Shiva were whipped. They were defeated. And very morosely they went back to Lord Shiva. When Lord Shiva heard that his wife had given up her body, he became very angry. He plucked a dreadlock from his head, cast it on the ground. Immediately a huge fire demon called Virabhadra appeared. Virabhadra Prabhu Ki Jai. Come on, Vijay, get into it. A huge fire demon called Virabhadra came. He came and circumambulated Lord Shiva 4 times and said, give me your instructions. But Lord Shiva laughed very loudly and said, destroy Daksha. And merely Virabhadra, who was as tall as the sky, who had a huge trident in his hands, who was the personified anger of the Supreme Lord, of Lord Shiva, he went there with very large steps that shook the earth. All the followers of Lord Shiva went behind him, went there, and there was a huge fight at the sacrifice. That time, the followers of Shiva were throwing stones upon all the demigods. They broke all the pots that had been used for the sacrifice. They tore down the arenas that had been assembled, pulled down the flags. That time, some of the followers of Lord Shiva went in the women's quarters, began disturbing there. That time, Virabhadra, he grabbed Bhrigu, who had been offering oblations to the fire. He reached down and tore off his mustache like a piece of Velcro. Virabhadra immediately caught Bhaga, one demigod. Because when Daksha was criticizing Lord Shiva, Bhaga was there laughing and his eyebrows were moving. Therefore, Virabhadra tore off his eyebrows. There was another demigod called Pusha. When Daksha was criticizing Lord Shiva, Pusha was laughing. Therefore, Virabhadra punched all his teeth out. He punched the teeth out of Daksha also. Thus, Virabhadra grabbed Daksha and tried to cut off his head. But he could not because Daksha was such a powerful personality. No matter how many weapons he used, he could not pierce the skin of the neck of Daksha. Therefore, there was one Vidabhadra tried different mantras also to kill him. He could not kill him. Therefore, there was one machine which is used to take the head off a goat. Before, in those times, Charles, people would sacrifice animals, and the Brahmanas were so powerful they would chant mantras and the animals would come back to life. That was like a test if the sacrifice had been done properly. Therefore, Vidabhadra put Daksha in the goat, in the beheading machine, and took off his head. That time, all the demigods are crying, hi, hi, and very happily the followers of Lord Shiva came back. All the demigods realized, because we became implicated in offense to a Vaishnava, we all had to suffer. Guru Maharaj said, if someone commits offense, all the persons who are implicated, associated with that person, will also have to suffer a result of that offense. Like we know an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu is the Supreme Lord. Nityananda was moving here and there, spreading the chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Nadiya Godrumi Nityananda Mahajan, Patiachina Mahata Jivarakara. Nityananda was moving here and there, spreading the chanting of the holy name. That time he came to the house of the great offender, Ramchandra Khan. Ramchandra, who had made a big offense to the feet of Sri Haridas Thakur. Nityananda came there with many of his followers, but Ramchandra was so proud he could not come out. He sent a message. Nityananda was requiring a place to stay. Yes, you may stay in the cowshed. A cowshed is a very fit place for you to stay. What a great insult. Nityananda Prabhu laughed. Ha ha ha, yes, you're right. This place is not fit for me. This place is fit for cow killers. And Nityananda left. The next day, what happened? What's wrong? Foaming. Can I have some water? Nityananda gave a curse. Yes, this is not a fit place for me. This place is fit for cow killers. The next day, the Muslim armies attacked the house of Ramchandra Khan, who had not been paying his taxes. The IRS, the Vedic IRS came. They took all his family, put him in jail, and plundered the whole house. The whole village was plundered because of the offense of one person. Because all the demigods remained silent when Daksha was criticizing Lord Shiva, all the demigods had to suffer the result. Therefore, all the demigods were most morose. They went to Lord Brahma and begged shelter of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma went with all the demigods to Kailash, the abode of Lord Shiva, and one whole chapter describes the beauty of Kailash. They fell at the feet of Lord Shiva begging forgiveness. There was Lord Shiva, who is called Asutosh, very easily pleased. He is not difficult to please, he is very kind. Therefore, if you worship him very easily, your desires can be fulfilled. But what do you want, Charles? You should be careful what you want. Otherwise, Lord Shiva may fulfill your material desires. But the devotees also worship Lord Shiva for the greatest gift, which is Bhagavad Bhakti. Therefore, Guru Maharaj says, one time there was a man who had taken a vow to worship Lord Shiva, and 1 month he went every morning to the temple, but after 1 month his desire had not been fulfilled. He became most disappointed. 1 month I lost my time here, but above the deity of Lord Shiva was a bell. Don't let me steal the bell, at least I'll get something for my trouble. So he stood on the head of the deity and went to get the bell. That time Lord Shiva came out of the deity and said, many people come and worship me. They just give me a few bits of leaves, a few flowers, or a cup of water on my head. But you're the first person who's given themselves completely to me. Therefore, what do you want? So Lord Shiva is very kind, easily pleased, easily made angry. Therefore, you'll have to be careful. Therefore, Lord Shiva is already very happy, and he said, I forgive everyone, therefore I will give life back to Daksha. Therefore, Shiva took off the head of a goat and fixed the head of a goat back onto the body of Daksha. Why? Because the curse that Nandishwar had come, very soon you will have the face of a goat. A goat has a wonderful quality. The goat is always saying, me, 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 I and mine, I. Me, me. Therefore, those those who bless and Vaishnavas, they're always doing for selfish motivation. Me, I and mine, don't come to my zone. Stay far away, my disciples. And therefore, the result, Daksha was cursed to have the face of a goat. The demigod Pusha, his teeth were not restored. He was cursed to always eat the chickpea flour and water. He could not eat anything else. Therefore, from this we can learn many things. One should be very careful before one blasphemes devotees. Mahaprabhu said, Yadi Vaishnava Parad Utihati Mata Udpad Chayechin Yayasuka Yayapata. Is any of us stay awake? Vaishnava Parad is like a mad elephant. Imagine there's a garden. We clean it full of weeds. We put the seeds in. We water the seeds. We make a nice fence to keep out the wild animals. But if a wild elephant enters your garden, what will happen, Gopal? Smash. Therefore, you make great endeavors in your devotion. Clean the unwanted weeds out of the heart. Even the spiritual master may plant the seed of devotion. He'll water it by the process of hearing and chanting. You may make a fence of satsanga around you. But if you make offense to a pure devotee, what will happen? The mad elephant will come. It will take the bhakti lata bij out of the heart and throw it away. They will wither and die. Bhakti comes by the mercy of Vaishnavas, but bhakti is lost by offense to the Vaishnavas, offense to the devotees. Therefore, Maya Mahadev ki jai. Therefore, afterwards, to show how powerful is Vaishnava Parad, someone may make offense to the spiritual master or to the devotees, he may beg forgiveness. And because the devotee is very merciful, he may forgive them, but it doesn't mean that necessarily he is satisfied by them. Understand, Radhika? Someone may do some big offense to Gurudev. Gurudev, forgive me. Yes, he'll forgive you. But have you satisfied him? No. Therefore, to show how Vaishnava Parad affects you birth after birth is shown by the character of Daksha. Daksha, who had his new goat's head, he became degraded from the birth of a brahmana. He gave up that body and took birth again as a kshatriya. But Vaishnava Parad makes such an impression on the heart, that impression follows you birth after birth, causes many, many obstacles. Therefore, sometimes we see even great devotees have many problems in their spiritual life. Why? It means last life or the life they've made some offense to a devotee. And that offense follows them birth after birth. So we should be very careful. Daksha became degraded from being a Brahmin. He took birth in a Kshatriya family, a warrior family. He was put in charge. He worshipped Lord Vishnu even. But he was so much foolish. When Vishnu appeared before him, what benediction did he ask? Jayasri, you know? He said, oh, please give me the benediction. I have to make population. Therefore, Lord, give me the benediction. I may have very powerful sex life. Foolish. Someone may worship the Lord, but he worships with material benefits, material motives, then how much he is foolish. In Chaitanya Charitamrita it says, Prabhu koi amar bhajan majai bishai suk amrita chare amrit vish. Prabhu kahe, amar bhajan majai vishai suk amrita chare vishai pibe baramork ami vigyai mork visai kenadibo swachananita dibe visai bolibo. Krishna says, one who worships me for material things is very foolish because he's giving up the nectar of my lotus feet and he wants to drink poison. But ami vigyai mork visai kenadibo. But I am not fool, why I give him poison? Instead of giving him poison, I give him the nectar of my lotus fruit. Therefore, Daksha, because he made offense to a devotee, even in his next birth, he had no pure intelligence. Even though he worshipped Lord Vishnu, Vishnu appeared before him. What did he ask for, Kishori? He asked for a material benediction. Give me good sex life. Therefore, how much foolish. And Lord Vishnu cheated him? Okay. In one sense, because that also necessary to produce population. As a result, he produced 10,000 sons. 10,000 sons he produced. He ordered his sons become pure and you should also produce good population. Therefore, those sons went to near Pakistan, near Karachi. There they performed austerities to purify their mind. At that time, the greatly merciful Narad Muni came. Oh, my dear boys, what are you doing? Oh, we've been sent here by our father to produce good population. And Narad Muni is so kind. He is sannyasi. He thought, you have not understood the instructions of your father. Means the Supreme Father, Krishna. My dear boys, let me tell you a story. Narad Muni continued, there's a river that's always flowing. And on that river there's a swan who's chanting very nice songs. To cross that river is very hard, Nilambari. When you cross that river, there's a door that has only one entrance. But that door is guarded by a prostitute. She's always changing her form. One who goes in that form, in that door, he goes through and he never comes out again. On the other side of the door, he meets the one enjoyer, the only male. And the boys are asking, we can't understand what that means. That story is very deep. The Narad Muni said, listen, the river that's always flowing is called time. Very difficult to cross. But you can cross if you listen to the words of the swan. Like the swan, he's in the water, but the swan never becomes wet. Understand? The swan is unaffected by the water. That's the spiritual master. The spiritual master is in the ocean, in this world, but he's unaffected by this world. If you listen to the singing of the swan, the Paramahamsa, then you can cross that river. But to cross that river, guarding, there's a door, that's the entrance to the spiritual world. One who goes there never comes out. But guarding that door is the prostitute. What's the prostitute? Prem? No. The intelligence. She's always changing. If you can get past the prostitute, means if you can get past defective intelligence, if your intelligence is pure, then you can understand. The mind is always hankering, accepting and rejecting. The mind is trying to enjoy through the senses. The mind tries to enjoy through seeing nice form, through hearing nice sound, tasting good things. Therefore, intelligence should not be used to acquire material enjoyment. For example, Vijay is walking on the boardwalk. Vijay sees a donut. The mind thinks, donut. And intelligence thinks, how I can acquire the donut? I need to get money, I'll have to do this and that. The same way, intelligence should not be used to acquire material enjoyment. Therefore, intelligence is like a prostitute. Isn't it? She's always trying to cheat the soul. Therefore, the most important thing in spiritual life is pure intelligence. Intelligence can help us to understand what is good for us and what is bad for us. By using intelligence, we can understand what is temporary, of no benefit, and what is eternal, of true benefit to us. Therefore, Bhagavatam is described, Narad Muni described Ranjan. The body is like a chariot. The backbone is like an axle. The two legs are like the wheels. The skin is like the frame of the chariot. The ribs are like the side. He gives a complete description of the body like a chariot. And pulling the chariot are the five horses of the senses. Smell, taste, hearing, touch, and sight. And the reins, which are controlling, the reins are called the mind. But who's driving the chariot, Vijay? Intelligence. Intelligence is driving the chariot. And the back of the chariot sleeping is the soul, the passenger. Their intelligence is pure, then that intelligence can take us to Krishna. But intelligence is defective, impure, that intelligence will take us to hell. Therefore, every day we have to hear this Srimad Bhagavatam, then our intelligence can become very sharp. What's good for me? What is bad for me? Therefore, Narad Muni said, be careful, the prostitute, she's always changing forms. Because the mind is always, the intelligence is always adjusting how to achieve material enjoyment. If you go through the door, Premji, strike one. There you can meet one who goes through the door to the spiritual world, never takes birth again. And on that, through the door, you can meet the supreme enjoyer, Krishna, and never take birth. Therefore, the boys, by hearing the instructions of Narad Muni, their desire to produce population was finished. They all took sannyas. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna. When Daksha found that Narad Muni had changed his 10,000 sons, he became furious. He produced another 1,000 sons and sent them on the same mission. Go, produce good population, And by the will of providence, Narad Muni met those 1,000 sons again. And Narad Muni said, the same story he told them. You should follow in the footsteps of your elder brothers. And Narad Muni told them the same Harikatha. They also changed their minds and gave up chasing material enjoyment and took to devotion. When Daksha realized his 11,000 sons had been transformed into devotees, he became furious. And he began to blaspheme Narad Muni. Oh, you are not a devotee of Vishnu because you are very cruel and inexperienced. How can one renounce material enjoyment unless he's tasting material enjoyment? Is that true, Radhika? Not true. It's not true. One does not have to enjoy everything and then realize it's suffering. One can realize by hearing. Three types of intelligence, Prabhupada used to say. The first type of intelligence is first-class intelligence. By hearing, you can understand everything. For example, we hear, if you steal a car, you go to jail. There's no need to experience that by stealing a car. One can understand by intelligence, first-class intelligence. The second-class intelligence, he'll have to steal a car, go to jail, then he'll understand, I won't do again. But third-class intelligence, despite hearing and despite going to jail, as soon as he comes out of jail, he does the same thing again. Therefore, Daksha's arguments are not true. One does not have to marry and everything and go through all that to understand its suffering. One can understand just by hearing. Therefore, Daksha began to blaspheme Narad Muni. You are most inexperienced. These boys have no idea of the futility of material existence. Let them have a taste first. When they exhaust their material desires, then they can come to the path of renunciation. So Daksha made again offense to Narad Muni, therefore showing Vaishnava Parad follows us birth after birth. You know one kirtan? Amitu Vaishnava. Therefore one should not be proud of one's knowledge, one's birth, one's education and one's good looks. One must always be a humble servant before the Vaishnavas.